Call it the spoonful of sugar approach to writing. Buy it for the mystery, love it for the history.
Roaming the island, talking to people, reading the lore of the island when I was there, I really got caught up in the idea that it is kind of the easternmost part of the United States, at least on the Atlantic seaboard, this lower down. And it is in a very precarious position in terms of weather, in terms of being vulnerable to attack during the wars when the shipping lanes pass so close off the lighthouse, using it as a beacon to go both north and south and also to head out using the Gulf Stream to get across the ocean. So I guess I came by it naturally, just absorbing the lore and thinking about the idea of an isolated community that suddenly is invaded by a gigantic global force.
Philip Gerard, part of the creative writing department at UNC Wilmington and author of The Dark of the Island, set on Hatteras Island, the second of his fiction novels set on the secluded island. But while fictional, an oil company employee comes to the island as part of a team investigating the possibility of a game-changing oil deposit off the Outer Banks and survives multiple accidents, or were they, the book spends much of its time flashing back to a period just before and during World War II, both action overseas and the Outer Banks' unique attachment to the war, with U-boat attacks on merchant ships offshore and rumors of those same U-boats depositing agents on our shores as saboteurs.
There are some people here that I've talked to, people like Hannah Block, who was kind of a grand dame of the arts here, who actually was a lifeguard on our coast during the war, and remembers seeing strange men dressed in uniforms they didn't belong in coming to the local clubs, and how the shore patrols would routinely round them up and take them away. And, you know, there are all kinds of stories of fishermen encountering U-boats that surfaced and wanted to barter for food or for supplies of some kind. I think the whole coast is kind of rife with that. The coast here goes back, you know, to the days of smuggling and piracy, so there's always been skullduggery of one kind or another happening.
Much of a skullduggerous nature occurs in The Dark of the Island. The book shifts between the World War II era and the book's present-day early 1990s. The young oil man Nick Wolf had a grandfather who died in the war under mysterious circumstances. He no sooner sets foot on the island when he has his first brush with death, and many of the people he encounters on Hatteras seem to know something of him, though he has never visited this corner of the world and a job that takes him to many. The people he meets all have direct ties to World War II through family members or direct service. Gerard used his own ties to World War II, interviews with veterans about the war, including his father, to bring authenticity to the stories of his book's veteran characters.
One of the characters comes home, takes off his uniform, leaves it under the bench in a bus station in Philadelphia, never wants to see it again. That's actually a story told to me by one of the veterans I interviewed for another project that had just become so sick of the war and of the military and so traumatized by it all that he just simply went into the bathroom in the bus station, changed into civilian clothes, and left everything behind, and then went home, as if he could just simply take off the war like taking off a suit of clothes.
And his past research also informs the war scenes from The Dark of the Island. In this scene, Hatteras native Tim Dant is now a Navy corpsman landing with the Marines in Tarawa in 1943, a battle that saw nearly 1,000 American and as many as 4,700 Japanese deaths as the United States went on the offensive in the Central Pacific.
Tim Dant's Amphitrack took a direct hit in the bow and spun out, broaching on a swell and coming down hard on a coral head, listing heavily toward the beach so that machine gun fire raked the interior. The Amphitrack's crew and half the 20 Marines it carried were killed instantly. The others, burdened with packs and weapons, clumsily climbed up the high side. Some were cut down, others scrambled over the bodies and plopped down into the deep water on the other side. There was no time to tend to any wounded, not while bullets were ricocheting inside the Amphitrack. Tim flipped into the water, temporarily safe in the lee of the stranded vehicle. Around him, men were struggling to shrug off their heavy rucksacks. Plenty were drowning. His corpsman's bag slung by its strap over his neck, Tim struck out for the beach. The swim seemed to take hours. The scene was surreal. Fire, water, and smoke, the din of explosions and big diesel engines roaring past. Men shouting and crying out, men run over by the churning Amphitracks. A huge burst of water that hurt his chest and then deafness. Eardrums blasted. He staggered ashore, the beach alive, erupting in billows of sand. Bullets zipped across it in ragged lines like raindrops. Dark forms in the jungle green camouflage crabbed across the white sand of the open beach, moving from the bloody water toward the flash of gunfire lighting up the tree line ahead of them. Sloshing in the surf was the detritus of battle, packs, jagged parts of wrecked landing craft, life jackets, weapons, and bodies. Everywhere, bodies. The island didn't seem big enough to contain so much violence. When you're writing anything that's extremely violent or emotional, one of the things you want to try to do is to let the action carry the emotion and not ramp it up too much with the words. So you really have to try to restrain yourself and tie up that impulse to use very lurid language. And in fact, if you read the accounts of the men, you know, who survived those battles and wrote about them, you find the kind of matter-of-fact after-action reports, but you also then find things that are much more introspective and sometimes often lyrical, written by the guys who survived it and crawled up those beaches. Whenever there's a historical event in the novel, I'm trying to present it, you know, as accurately as I can from what the record is, and to kind of put my character right in the middle of it.
But the plot of The Dark of the Island isn't only tied to events around World War II. It also highlights modern-day tensions that exist along the North Carolina coast, a tension between tradition and the tourist trade, as well as a tension between the tourist trade and a push by some to allow energy exploration in Atlantic waters.
One of the characters is talking about the great tradition of the island, which has always been two things. One is rescue, the lifesavers that go out and get stranded sailors off their ships, and fishing, which is, you know, providing nourishment, feeding people. And those are two very honorable things upon which the legacy and the traditions of the island are based. And the discussion, you know, comes up in the context of the fact that that culture is fading or being overshadowed by a culture of development and tourism and now perhaps drilling for oil. And that's eclipsing something that kind of gave the island a very solid moral center.
Tensions between tourism and tradition remain a fact of life along the state's coast, but tensions over possible drilling off the coast recently eased or intensified, depending on your position, when President Obama reversed a proposal that could have opened areas 50 miles off the Atlantic coast to drilling. That affected possible leases from 2017 to 2022. So one apparently timely topic highlighted in the book faded in the time between the book going to press and the book appearing in stores. But Gerard's experience talking war with veterans, whether those who inspired sections of The Dark of the Island or not, makes it apparent that no matter what the fight, there is no war to end all wars.
You know, I've interviewed a lot of World War II veterans over the years for various writing projects, and what happens is you learn that all the things we think of as being new, like post-traumatic stress disorder or the ambiguity of the Vietnam War, not knowing who your enemy was, all those things were also true in World War II, and I suspect they've all been true for all wars.
The Dark of the Island by Philip Gerard is published by John F. Blair. I'm George Olson.